what is that? What the heck does that mean? Build on an unconditional foundation of love. It's like, no duh.
Welcome to the Winning Family Podcast, the podcast designed to champion parents to raise spiritual leaders.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Winning Family Podcast. Michelle and I are really excited that you've taken a moment to be a part of our conversation today. And before we dive into today's subject matter, let me encourage you to please rate and review, and also let us hear from you. Feel free to send us a DM if you have any questions that you would like for us to personally address and speak into in future episodes. And then also share this with friends. Let them be aware of the Winning Family Podcast. It is our heart's desire to come alongside you, to encourage you, to speak life into you, and to help champion you as parents so that you can raise spiritually strong, resilient kids and win at home. So today we're talking about the subject of marriage.
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
You know a thing or two about marriage.
Kind of like married. That commercial, that guy, I can't remember what commercial is, the insurance commercial. The guy says, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
That's
or something
right.
Like
that. Definitely. But we've been married 33 years.
Boom.
That's right.
So
June 1st.
Yes. So we have a lot of the good, the bad, the ugly, everything in between that we can pass along to you.
That's right.
And yeah, we were talking off camera a few moments ago about something I think is really important, that I think this is where maybe this podcast is a little different than other podcasts out there. And I think we live in this culture today. And again, no right or wrong in the sense of, you know, it takes all kinds and it takes, you know, different perspectives to learn and grow. But I do think there's a lot of attention that is focused on reactive, you know, type situations. Like, how do I get my child to stop doing this? Or how do I get my child to start doing that? Or how can I keep my husband from doing this? Or how can I keep my wife from doing that? And everything is kind of like reactive. In other words, it's focused on maybe one's behavior or one's attitudes. And I think where we try to come in is somewhat a little counterintuitive in that we focus more on the proactive strategies and focus more on the foundation, focus more on the heart, and work towards building that spiritual, building that emotional resiliency so that culturally, even in our homes and in our relationships, we're building on a foundation, which is a solid, unshakable foundation that's built on truth, that's built on a spiritual foundation, a moral foundation, right, but even a strong, healthy, emotional foundation as well.
And you start wherever you're at. We understand reactive.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
Most of us, you know, we don't realize it until we've drifted far away from where we want to be, and we have to react. But we would love to reach you where you are right now and help you where you're at right now and be proactive for the future, you know,
yeah,
so you can shift back to the thing or shift to the thing that you want to be, the vision, the dream that you have for your family or for your marriage.
Right.
And that's what we're chatting about today.
Yeah, one of my dear friends, he has a statement, Dave Martin, he goes like this. He said, the difference between where you are mm-hmm. and where you desire to go is what you know. And I think for a lot of couples and parents, they desire to move in a certain direction, mm-hmm. but unfortunately, they don't know how to get there.
Right.
And so that's where we come in. We want to help you get to where you desire to go.
That's good.
Because if you, it's like the old saying, if you keep doing the same things you've always done, you'll keep getting the same results you've always gotten.
Yes.
So sometimes you have to make a change, mm-hmm. and change can be hard. And we can either change because we have to, or we can change because we want to.
Exactly.
And it's so important.
Yes.
It's been said also that there is a 100% chance that your marriage will succeed if and only if you do it God's way.
Yeah.
So.
That's right. And to give a little backstory, I mean, we came from uniquely different homes, although they had some similar basis, as you were talking earlier about. You know, the different podcasts and things, different points of view, we believe that you should build on the foundation of the Word of God, that that's our true north for our marriage and for our family. And so that's definitely what we're talking about. So our marriage was built upon the true north. And you came from a home of four boys. I came from a home of four girls, very different. Our fathers knew each other, in fact, set us up on a blind date, which is crazy. They could not be polar opposite. They were both men of God, but polar opposite in their personality and their the way they lived their lives. So we came from somewhat polar opposite homes, both built on the foundation of the Word of God, but uniquely different. So we had a lot of learning to do as we got married. And these are some of the habits that we put in place that really gave us a solid foundation to build upon and to stay together.
Yeah. And these habits didn't originate with us.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that we were blessed and fortunate was having some mentors and learning from other people who had successful marriages.
Yes.
You know, that's what I encourage any, you know, young couple who's just starting out in your marriage journey, or any parent who's starting out in your parenting journey, or regardless of where you are in your parenting journey, you may be a blended family situation or even a single parent. I mean, at the end of the day, we got to find people that we can, you know, from the outside looking in, we see, we observe, you know, the success that they have. And if it's something that we aspire to grow into, and maybe we have a vision, we have a desire to say, that's the kind of marriage I want. Mm-hmm. We'll learn from them. Go ask them questions. Go take them to dinner. Find out from them what habits did you build? What things did you avoid doing? You know, if you had it all over to do again, you know, what would you prioritize? And, you know, we were fortunate that we had a lot of those conversations with people that we looked up to and admired, and people who had, you know, long, healthy, you know, amazing stories as far as their marriage journey. And they were able to pass along to us a lot of things that we were able to benefit from applied.
Yeah, you know, we had mentors that were older, as you're referring to, and had a long history. We also had our pastors when we lived in Texas. Ed and Lisa Young really had an impact on us. Just their marriage, they're probably 10 years ahead of us. Generally. So that was a huge blessing to have those kind of mentors as well. Just they were very strong on speaking on the marriage, and many of the things that they taught we applied to our life, having a God-centered, marriage-centered marriage and not a kid-centric marriage was one of the things that they taught us that was really, really something that impacted us. And so thankful for. So there's all kinds of mentors out there. And thanks for listening to the Winning Family. We love being a mentor to you.
And that's why we call the Winning Family what it is. We want to help you win in every area of your life. And so let's talk about some habits that we can build into our marriage relationships, our homes. And the first is this. It's building on a foundation of unconditional love.
Yes.
And that sounds a little cliche-ish. How do you say it? Cliche-ish. Is that a word?
You could just say it sounds cliche.
But it, you know, I mean, what is that? What the heck does that mean? Build on an unconditional foundation of love. It's like, no duh. Yeah. But what does that mean? And you know, I think in our culture today, we've kind of lost sight of really what that means.
Right. It's more contractual than it is unconditional. You know, there's not that commitment side of marriage as much. You know, you can even just look at the percentages of marriages that last to show you that. And no matter where you're at listening, you know, we're with you, we're for you, we're cheering you on, we're championing you on. We all know that we all go through difficult times in our marriages, but it's loving someone as God loves us. And I'm thankful that God loves me in my bad days and my good days. He never changes. He never wavers. Of course, we're human and we're challenged with unconditional love. But when you go into the marriage relationship, it's not, you know, a contract that if you live up to your end of the deal, then I'll live up to my end of the deal. That's not the kind of marriage. It's a covenant marriage. Yeah. It's a commitment that God has called us to have as Christians. It's so very important that we take it serious, that we're not watching culture. We're not leaning into social media and all those things to find our what we're basing our truth upon about marriage, because it's in the Bible. It's in the Word of God. God established, it's the first thing he established was a man and a woman united.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, again, the unconditional, there's a Bible word for that, Greek word called agape.
Yes.
Which is the deepest, it's the highest, deepest form of love. Mm. And it's centered on God's love, because it is sacrificial. God so loved the world, he gave. He sacrificed his one and only son. And so that same agape, sacrificial love, is what God wants a husband and a wife to extend toward each other.
Yes.
In other words, we put Christ at the center of our lives and we move toward him.
Yes.
And as the closer, more intimate we walk with God and we pursue him in our own individual lives, naturally, we're going to draw closer to each other. It's kind of like a visual triangle.
Yeah, if you're both.
Yeah, as long as we're both are pursuing God simultaneously, we're going to, as we naturally draw closer to God, we're going to naturally draw closer to each other.
Yes.
And I think what happens, though, in today's world is, again, maybe we go into a relationship and we go into a relationship maybe not thinking so much on this about the spiritual health and well-being or foundation of a marriage. Mm-hmm. We go in a lot of times, most couples, you know, that I've worked with through the years, they go in with this ideal of what they've built up in their mind. But a lot of times they just say, hey, we're good. We're compatible because, you know, he's got a good job. I got a good job. So they look at it more from a financial compatibility, look at it from the standpoint of like, oh, well, we just enjoy being around each other. And so they think, hey, he's got a good job. I got a good job. We enjoy being with each other. There seems to be a little chemistry here that works. They base their whole lifelong marriage commitment on just those things. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow, because the moment something doesn't work out as you had hoped, if there are unmet, you know, expectations, unfulfilled expectations or unmet needs or unforgiving mistakes that begin to accumulate over the course of time in the marriage relationship, all of a sudden, what happens? Now we see the marriage relationship is that you failed to live up to your end of the deal. And we see the sign, you know, at the four-way stop or at the light, the intersection that says, you know, divorce, you know, as low as $39 or whatever.
Before inflation.
Yeah. Well, it's gone up since then. Yeah. And, you know, and all of a sudden we see the grass being greener on the other side. Mm-hmm. We think, oh, well, life would be so much better. Mm-hmm. And we paint this picture of I'll be happier. No.
Cost you more than you can even imagine.
Yeah. We're just going to take our misery somewhere else to somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, again, it is building on that foundation of agape, sacrificial, unconditional love.
Yeah.
And that is a heck of a lot easier to preach than it is to live.
Right. And no matter where you're at in your journey, maybe you're on a second marriage or you're in your first marriage and struggling. We understand.
Yes,
we understand.
Absolutely.
Second marriage, third marriage, no matter where you're at, this is for you, because we can all begin today. Yesterday's pages have been written and turned, right? And today's pages are blank. No matter what day you're listening to this, today's God's mercies are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness to us. We're not always faithful to him, but he's faithful to us, and he is able to get us through and help us to begin again. And no matter what moment you are in your marriage relationship. But yeah, I think there's a lot of misconception about what marriage truly is and the work you got to put into it.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, a free-flowing thing that you join in on a relationship. It takes a lot of work and putting habits and choices into place that to really have a marriage that lasts.
I had someone give me an analogy recently, and I thought it was so powerful. You know, the statistics say that one out of every two, so basically 50% of all marriages end in divorce. So the question is, would you be willing to get on an airplane as a passenger knowing that 50%, one out of every, think about this, 50% of all flights
would crash.
Would crash. They don't end well.
No, I don't think so. I don't
so
think I'd be getting on that airplane.
Why would we enter into a marriage knowing the odds are stacked against us with something that's just superficial, something that's shallow?
Yeah, you got to do your research and make sure you're boarding the right plane.
Right. So how do we, let's break this down real quick. Because how can we build that foundation? Mm-hmm. So here are just some suggestions, some things, once again, that we've learned, that we want to pass along to you. That's been, this is just wisdom that's been shared with us. And we learned this over the course of time. But so how do you do that? Well, you do that by knowing each other's needs. Mm-hmm. You know, what's your love language? What are the most important emotional needs in your life? Because whether that's security or whether that's, you know, physical affection, whether that
words of affirmation,
you know, attention, gives, you know, go on and on.
Yeah.
But again, we have to make sure that we're putting the needs of our spouse before our own, that we are intentional and proactive in ways that we support, that we nurture, that we help provide and meet those needs for our spouse. Mm-hmm. And in doing that and just becoming a student of our spouse's needs, that automatically shifts the focus away from me to you.
Right. There's a book called The Love Languages.
Yes.
Dr. Gary Chapman.
Yeah.
That's a great book if you've never heard of that before. That really helps you understand your own love language, and then being able to communicate that to your spouse is extremely helpful, because we love in a way that we want love received in our life. That's the way we naturally give love. But most of the time our spouse has a different need in a way that they receive love. So it can get a little confusing.
Yeah.
If you don't really understand the way that your spouse needs and wants to receive love.
No speak of your language.
That's right.
So you gotta learn each other's love language, learn the needs, be a student of your spouse's needs.
Yeah,
be
if a you student can imagine, because I came from a home of all girls, you came from the home of all boys, we had very different love languages.
Yes. And learning personality differences,
yes,
different personality traits.
Yes.
And, you know, again, extroverts a lot of times will marry introverts. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's the old saying, you know, opposites attract, but also opposites attack. So you have to just be mindful of these kinds of things. Yeah. Another thing is just, you know, the weaknesses and the strengths, you know, of each other. Mm-hmm. So there are going to be certain things that you are naturally good at that are, you know, they complement my weaknesses. And so a lot of times we have to adapt, we have to adjust, we have to defer, you know, to one another. And again, it just, that comes with the give and the take and the selfless, you know, kind of love. Knowing and understanding each other's dreams, passions, heart, you know, what's in our heart? What is it that we long, you know, to be, to do? You know, you don't want to spend years in your marriage and like, well, I had no idea that was something that was important to you. I had no idea that was something you always wanted to do, you know? And so dreaming together, you know, getting inside each other's hearts and inside each other's world, you know, knowing
ways of unconditional love.
Yeah. Knowing fears and insecurities, you know, it's just important to keep those things in mind. So at the end of the day, these are some things to be aware of, so that we can be intentional in growing in our relationship and growing the foundation that is being built, you know, one brick at a time when it comes to those unconditional agape, if you will, love pieces that we are putting in place for our foundation.
Yeah, I think we've told this story before, but when we when we got married, we were several years in and had at least one or two children. And I was trying to communicate with you, and we would get, we have a pretty strong wills, both of us.
You think?
Pretty strong. And we would start to get an argument, and I was being hurt on some things that, and I was trying to explain to you, but I could not keep up with you when it came to arguing. And so with my words, I could not argue with you or get you to understand where I was coming from. And so finally, I just stopped trying to do that. And I went and wrote you a letter and handed it to you. And you read the letter and you finally kind of understood where I was coming from, because I was able to get my words out onto a piece of paper. And that really helped us start to move forward. And not that I was perfect or that you were not, but it was just that we were not able to get on the same page, and that helped us. And I know that's helped several other people along the way, just being able to write down your feelings,
yeah,
right where you're coming from, because we want that unconditional. We want our marriage to last, and whatever it takes to work that out, and just really knowing your spouse and understanding that you probably just needed to see it written down. I didn't realize that,
yeah,
you know, and I was never going to get anywhere arguing with you by my spoken word. I, at that point in our marriage, I just needed to write it down to help you understand where I was at.
Yeah. Yeah. These are just, and Michelle, as we just emphasized at the very beginning, at the end of the day, it's just, this doesn't come natural. We can't do
exactly
this on our own.
Exactly.
No matter how good your intentions are,
yeah,
we need God's help. We need to invite Him into the process. That's why every day, yeah, you know, we got to put on the mind of Christ. Every day we got to put on the full armor of God. Every day we got to replace whatever distractions, lies that we may be entertaining in our mind, replace it with truth.
Yes.
And most importantly, I think we have to submit every day, submit to the Lordship of Jesus every day. In other words, mm-hmm, we simply get off the throne of our lives, mm-hmm, and put Him on the throne of our lives. Mm-hmm. And that is a way that we just surrender. It's a way that we take on a position, if you will, of humility. We walk and live with a spirit of openness and humility. We have a teachable spirit. We're willing to learn and grow. Yeah. And that comes from just relying on the Lord, being filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I heard it explained one time what truly being filled with the Spirit is. It's like it's not putting gas in a gas tank to drive a car. It's putting the right driver in the driver's seat.
That's it.
And you get in the back seat and you allow the Holy Spirit
to
drive the car. Yeah,
yeah.
It's that's a daily thing.
Yeah.
Being filled with the Spirit of God. And it is a daily surrender, as you said. And I think that brings us to another one of our habits that we have found that's so important, and that is to keep anger low and honor high.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's been said that the number one tool the enemy uses to destroy marriages is anger, mm-hmm, because he knows if he can get you angry and then keep you angry, he knows he's got you. Mm-hmm. And that's why we can never open the door to anger. You know, anger is such a destructive force in a marriage or a relationship of any kind. Mm-hmm. And so we have to keep honor high, mm-hmm, and anger low. And what we mean by honor high, well, it simply means that we can never, ever take our spouse for granted.
Yeah.
You know, because that's the opposite of honor,
yeah,
is its familiarity.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, familiarity is the enemy of acceptance. It's the enemy of, you know, truly looking up to someone, admiring someone, respecting someone,
right,
treating someone as uncommon, in that there's, mm-hmm, great worth and weight and value that this person has in my life.
Yes.
And because of that, we're going to treat them differently. We're going to, you know, not hold on to grudges or anger or hurt. So we're not going to allow the enemy to use any of those things to sabotage us.
Yes, because that gets the wrong driver in the driver's seat very quickly. Anger and unforgiveness. There's just no way you can be filled with the Spirit of God and have unforgiveness in your heart. And a lot of things we walk through may cause us to grieve and make us angry. You know, there's just so many unmet expectations, and because we're all imperfect. I don't know anybody that has a perfect spouse. And so knowing that, we're going to have unmet expectations, because in reality, we all want to think that we can be perfect and that our spouse should be perfect as well, but they will never be perfect. And just having the opportunity to forgive and forgive and forgive again, you know, is so very important, and that our spouse knows that. And then honor is so important as well, because I love one of our mentors from afar was someone that talked a lot about honor. And I remember him talking about how he would come in the home and just be over the top. He was kind of a big personality. He would talk about when his wife would walk in the door, she would say, "Oh my goodness, my beautiful wife, Barbara, is home. And can you believe it, kids? The most beautiful woman just walked in the door." And he would be always over the top. And that's something that we really tried to apply in our family, is just to have fun with honor and to honor people, because people matter to God. God created every single human being and has a purpose and a plan for every single human being. And each one is a masterpiece, and each one deserves honor, even though they may not be honorable. And maybe a spouse, you may be walking through a season where your spouse is anything but being honorable.
Yeah.
Deserving that you think of honor. But we honor because honor honors God. That's absolutely what he's called us to do. He loves people and has created them in his image. And we are to honor people no matter what season we're walking through.
Yeah, because our culture today dishonors honor and then honors dishonor. So it's totally opposite, you know, of what God desires.
Yes.
I heard someone say that when something is important to you, you do four things. You invest in it, you prioritize it, you praise it, and you protect it. And those four things are the four things that we should do in our marriage relationships.
Yep.
We ought to invest in it, we ought to prioritize it, we ought to praise it, and we ought to protect it no matter what.
Yes.
And so when we do that, it helps us keep honor high and anger low. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, anytime you're in a situation where, you know, you feel like you're being taken for granted, maybe, you know, there's some hurt or, you know, there's some anger that has manifested. And now all of a sudden you're turning that, you know, anger towards your spouse, you know, sit down and write out, you know, a list of qualities that you're thankful for. Mm-hmm. That you're grateful for.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, it's amazing how our mind and our heart can shift.
Yes.
And yeah, they may be guilty of doing something they, you know, that, you know, in terms of hurt that they brought to us, or maybe they've taken certain things for granted or whatever. But, you know, at the same time, there's a reason why you entered into the marriage. There's a reason. There was something that attracted you, that drew you to your spouse, you know, especially when you first met, especially after you first got married. There was something there over the course of time. If we don't prioritize, we don't invest, we don't protect, we don't do those things, then we drift.
Right.
And so we have to make sure that we are intentional in those ways. Mm-hmm. And so another thing we got to, you know, share something else that was very important to us. And that was, we have to practice togetherness. That was a habit. Practice togetherness in everything that you do. And, you know, it's been said that we need to work on our marriage. And that statement may be true, but even more important than working on our marriage is actually working on our togetherness.
Right. Yeah. Just that friendship.
Yeah.
Just enjoying, finding things that you enjoy to do together and just doing life together. That points back to what I mentioned earlier about what Ed and Lisa taught us about not having a kid-centric home where everything in our world revolves around our kids. Our kids need to see that our marriage is the center of this universe other than God and our relationship with God.
Absolutely.
It's our marriage. It's our friendship. It's we, you know, setting aside a date night, getting away from the kids and prioritizing your friendship, finding things that you enjoy together. You know, we loved to go to concerts. We used to love to go to movies, just have a great dinner together, anything. Now our kiddos are playing pickleball on their date nights and, you know, all kinds of different ways that we can find things that we like and enjoy
Absolutely.
To do together.
Just Absolutely.
Really making the friendship side of our marriage a high, high priority.
And I would add one more thing to this. This is controversial here, but we're just speaking out of experience and speaking the truth in love here. But I think what happens a lot of times is a lot of couples compartmentalize certain areas of their life.
Right.
So for example, the Bible says that the two shall become one, and that's one, not only physically, but one spiritually, emotionally, relationally, financially, every area of your life. You ought to share that oneness. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, well, I got these little things over here that are mine. I mean, transparency is so important in a relationship to build trust.
Right.
So there's no secrets. You know, I don't have, you know, certain accounts that are locked that you don't have access to, or passwords that you don't have access to, or usernames or this or that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have your own bank account. I got my own bank account. And we kind of live these two separate lives, even though we share the same house. You know, and I see a lot of couples, they're living somewhat independent of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's extremely important that, again, you share everything together as one, as a husband and a wife. And it's so important that we work on those aspects of our togetherness as well, because at the end of the day, you know, we don't live compartmentalized lives as husbands and wives.
Mm-hmm.
We are living, most importantly, you know, in union and in companionship with the Lord, and we share Him in everything that we do as well. And so I just think it's something that's overlooked. And I think we have to realize how vitally important it is that we work on our togetherness in every aspect of our lives.
Yes. And that's continual. That never ends,
yeah.
No matter what stage of marriage you're in. And so, so important.
And then the last habit I would maybe just say, and as we close this out, is just, and again, these are just suggestions, some habits, some things that you can work towards building into your life and into your marriage. But for us, it's also just, you know, fulfilling God's purpose through our marriage.
Yes.
It's knowing that God, we are made by God and for God.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of fulfilling that greater purpose is bigger than our marriage. It's seeing the opportunity for our marriage to be a bright light.
Yes.
To be a shining example to other couples, to other families, to other people, so that we can share with them the hope of Christ. So hopefully they see Jesus in our marriage.
Yes.
They see Jesus living His life in and through our lives in such a way to where the salt and the light principle, where we're brighter light and we're stronger salt, that people are drawn and they want to taste and experience what it is that makes us different.
Yes. It's such a great example to set to your children too. You know, we're leading the way. We're showing them. Our marriage is showing our children what it is to be a husband and wife. And that seems very, you know, not very important. I mean, that seems very small, you know, but it's one of the biggest things that we do, mm-hmm. is to show our children what it means to be a husband and wife. The Bible talks about Jesus loved the church as His bride. He was the groom, and we were His bride. He loved the church so much. He loved the people so much, and it's important. So the way we can show that purpose and that basically ministry, what is it that we're all ministers, you know, if we're a Christ follower. So what is it that we show our children? Is it through the way we give financially to the work of the Lord? Mm-hmm. Are we bringing our kids along and showing them this is what we've decided to do as a husband and a wife? We're leading this family. We're going to give. This is the way we're going to show you. We're going to serve, get out and serve the community, get out and serve the church, and just finding different ways to fulfill your purpose. Yeah. What is it that God has gifted you to do? Are you a leader? Well, are you leading other couples, other families, and showing your children in that way? So there's all kinds of ways that we can find our purpose together as a husband and wife to fulfill the purpose and the calling of God on our life. Because if we're married, then God has a purpose for us as a husband and wife to fulfill his purpose here on earth.
Absolutely.
And for such a time as this.
Absolutely. Well, these are some habits that, again, no matter where you are in the parenting journey, in the marriage journey, again, you may be just starting out, you may be a blended family situation, but all of these things that we've shared, these are some habits that you can begin to either work towards or maybe reprioritize, reestablish. Mm-hmm. And I think in doing that, we can build that strong, healthy foundation.
Yes.
That is not only going to be fruitful and fulfilling in our lives, but can be a powerful witness and testimony to a world that's desperate, that's longing for something like this, that's real and most importantly, satisfying, and only Christ can bring that satisfaction to our lives and to our marriages. We can't do it without him.
That's right.
Well, that's all that we have time to share from this particular episode. We hope it's been helpful and encouraging and even challenging to you. And please, again, rate, review, send us a DM if you have questions, if you'd like us to drill down a little bit more in some of these areas, and share this with your friends. And we trust that you'll be blessed, and this podcast will be a great source of help and ongoing support and encouragement to you. At the end of the day, we want you to know that we are championing you in every way possible to help you raise your kids to be spiritual champions. Until next time, we look forward to seeing you soon.